You are now in tune to the Keys to the City podcast.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Keys to the City. It's been long overdue. My goodness, Ted, this has been a long layoff. Wow. It's over a month now. A month ago. Do you believe a month ago I was in Connecticut?
Yep.
Time is flying, Ted. Ted, have a little more excitement. We're back. We're back. Come on, man. There's a lot of shit going on. There's a lot of stuff going on. We got March Madness. We got baseball right around the corner. And we got the NFL draft. It's an exciting time. But, Ted, we are Keys to the City. And we are on all social media platforms at Keys to the City. So check us out if you want to see the two passionate Italian brothers, the Keys brothers, back in action. I know we've had a long layoff. Ted, what the hell did we miss? We've been gone for like a month. What did we miss?
Nothing,
I don't think. We only missed a repeat champion. We had an NFL combine record, 40-yard dash. Oh, we already went through the 12-team playoff era, Ted, because now we're going
14.
We're trying to get to 14, so we've really been we've missed a lot. Let's see. A Hall of Fame center is officially retired, and one of our arch enemies, the Jason Kelsey, is officially on the unemployment list, but he'll be getting somewhere soon.
He's not unemployed. Man.
I watched the whole cried for the whole time. I had tears at least the whole time, man. Just the whole time. That man, I love Jason Kelsey. There's a few players, if I'm a Giant fan, there's a few players from opposing teams that I love, and Jason Kelsey's one of them. And also, Ted, the worst trade in NFL history. That is Mr. Russell Wilson.
And you also have, I don't know, Caitlin Clark breaking the all-time record for points.
Just keep going with what we missed, man.
LeBron James.
40,000 points. Juan Soto is absolutely demolishing the baseball in spring training. So
Red Sox are already dealing with pitching injuries.
Ted, I don't think we missed anything, man. I don't think we missed anything.
Let's see. Anything?
No, else? I'm saying I think like I don't.
Oh,
think
there was the bad NBA All-Star game. That was awful. Let's see. We had NHL All-Star game.
Oh,
we
and had Saquon Barkley right now is not a Giant. So
yeah, I was just going through that. I saw Schultz got a 3-year deal for the Texans.
Jaguars. Boy, Dalton Schultz, bro. Schultz.
Jaguars tagged Josh Allen. Bucks tagged Winfield.
Brian
Jr.
Burns. Yeah, all the. So to say Brian the least, Ted. We haven't done a show. We didn't get to ever do a show in the Super Bowl. A lot of things happened in Connecticut.
Oh, there was a Super Bowl winner, too.
Yeah, I told you. Repeat champion. That was the Kansas City Chiefs. Ted tried to take me out. Not on a date or anything, or to the zoo, or to the mall. But no, he tried to actually take me out. Ted's like, if I take him out, I can be reign supreme. I can be the top dog.
I beat you already before we even got taken out on your ankle. I already had beaten you.
It wasn't my ankle, Ted. It was my calf.
It doesn't Pop matter.
You let me say, it's not a fun injury. It's not a fun injury.
You still got beat twice.
You know, what are you going to do, bro? What am I going to do?
Excuses.
No, you were the better man that day. I have no excuse.
Every day.
You are not the better man every day. You might have been the better night or better man that night. So I'll give you your praise, but you still tried to take me out. So, Ted, we just ran through everything. That was a 4-minute spiel of everything we've missed and never really got to cover since our last episode on Keys to the City. But, Ted, let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Ted, when you think of the NFL, who are the franchises that come to mind for you?
Well, first, it's got to be Dallas, just because it's Dallas.
Who else?
Dallas,
just go through.
Dallas,
go.
Yeah. Dallas 49ers, Pittsburgh. Listen, if I wasn't a Giant fan, I don't know if I would think about the Giants, but because I'm a Giant fan, I have to think about them. Yeah. Patriots, especially what they've done in the last 20 years, Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Well, because
Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
You're forgetting a few, too. I'll go through them. But when I think of the NFL, you'll understand why I said Dallas, you're missing one.
Oh, sorry, hold on. It's Dallas 49ers, Green Bay would be the top three. Then of course, the Patriots, Giants. And then you have, and for me, because you see it all the time, the Steelers and the Ravens. The Ravens have literally been a dominant team since moved from Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland. So here's my thing. When you think of the NFL, to me, the most iconic franchises specifically Ted just named them off. 49ers, Dallas, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Giants, the Bears. Because you got to put the Bears, like, I get it. In the sense of relevancy in the NFL, the Bears haven't been really that team. But when you think of the NFL, they've been around forever, just like the Green Bay Packers. But I want to specifically talk, and the other team is the New England Patriots. There's four teams that we're going to cover, and obviously we're going to cover with the New York Giants first. The four teams, and it seems like they've been the talk of the offseason, Ted, ever since the Super Bowl ended. It's been these four teams. It feels like we watch Get Up every day. We watch Colin all every day. We watch First Things First. You watch the Michael Kay Show. When we're talking and what they talk about, these four teams have been talked about throughout the entirety of this offseason so far. And they're some of the most iconic franchises. The New York Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Chicago Bears, and the New England Patriots all have one major glaring similarity.
Quarterback.
It's because of the quarterback. And we just saw a month ago what a quarterback could do. No matter what the pieces are surrounding that team, as long as you have the quarterback. Now, maybe, just maybe, Patrick Mahomes is the outlier. And we never got into the conversation of where he ranks among all-time greats, but he is possibly the greatest outlier in the history of the NFL because of the fact of people looking for quarterbacks like him. Oh, we want to find the next Patrick Mahomes. Or even if you don't have receivers, you don't have like some missing pieces, you still have 15 to overcome everything. You look at these four franchises, specifically the New York Giants, because we have to get into it because we are Giant fans, as you can see by Ted's shirt and by my color. I didn't wear a Giant shirt, but I'm wearing the
blue. I didn't put it on because we were talking to the Giants.
Oh, of course, I get it, but you're wearing it because you're a Giant fan.
I just needed a shirt that if I spilled grease on it when I was cooking, it would have been
okay. That meal did look good. I ain't going to lie. I saw it finally. That looks good. I would love.
It tasted even better.
Tasty. These four franchises feel like, yes, they are relevant in the sense of branding, but they're not relevant. And you say, oh, well, the Steelers have been to the playoffs, but they're very irrelevant when it comes to the Super Bowl picture. Look at these four franchises. The Patriots. Oh, well, they've been dominating for 20 years. What have they done since 2018 when Mr. Tom Brady left? They've been at the bottom where the Giants and the Bears have been and the Jets and the Giants, Steelers, and Bears all looking for that quarterback. But, Ted, we're going to start with the Giants. We got to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to.
They're one of the most talked about teams this entire offseason because, well, they have one of the most intriguing picks of the entire draft. I know, I get it. Six? Why six? Well, because they could go in a plethora of different directions. They can go restart the clock and find another franchise quarterback where they just tried to pay their guy last year, a year ago, and they're already possibly looking to turn back the dial.
Listen, I think it's coming.
You think it's coming? Well, I've been seeing a lot of reports.
This is either going to be
receiver or quarterback to me, Ted. That's why I think
this is also like a lunch in the high school room where like the rumors spread. So many different stories get passed out. I told you I would not take a quarterback at six if it was the fourth quarterback. Told you. I wouldn't take JJ McCarthy at six.
So if the fourth quarterback then, hold on. If the fourth quarterback, hypothetically, was Drake May or Jaden Daniels, are you not taking him because he's the fourth quarterback? Or are you only not taking him if it's J.J. McCarthy? No shit. I got you right there. You can't say you don't want the fourth quarterback. Say that is Drake or that's Jaden Daniels.
I think it depends on who the person is. Absolutely. You know, at first, like a week
ago. Could have just said that. Nobody wants my guy, JJ.
I don't think he'll be a bad pro. I just don't think he'll work for the Giants. This is no different than Mahomes going to the Bears. I just don't think JJ McCarthy works for the Giants right now. Though he can't – listen, at the end of the day, I think –
but he doesn't have to right now. That's the key.
The Giants have buyer's remorse right now. As Rich Eisen has said, the Giants are completely done with Daniel Jones. Now, we don't even know –
How much do you buy into that?
It's just rumors. Somebody who has a suit and tie on said something, and then someone passed the buck and passed it on, and that's what it was. That's what happens. There's a lot of rumors, not as much as I thought. With regards to the company, usually, you know, you hear a lot more stories out. I feel like there's only three stories that everyone are beating the drum. It's the Bears and Caleb Williams, and it's not really just Caleb Williams because I think we all kind of know that Caleb Williams is more likely than not, I would say 9 out of 10 times, he's going to get drafted number one. I just think it's where that market is now for Justin Fields, where we thought, okay, there could be a, you know, Oakland, Denver, Atlanta, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, you know, who's going to take a flyer on Justin Fields? Where now it's like his market might be squeezed. And if you're on the other side, you're like, hey, listen, I'm calling your bluff. You need to get rid of him. I don't need to rush. I can see where the market goes. You know, I can go after Kirk Cousins or maybe Russell Wilson. I get Russell Wilson for $1 million for a year and then build everyone else around him. You know, Russell
Can I
Wilson,
ask you something?
Yeah.
What do you think, honestly, because there's a lot of them, what do you think is the number one need for the New York Giants as of right now? This is before, like, a lot's going to change because the Giants free agency
should go after Russell Wilson for $1 million.
But no, realistically, to you, when you look at this team, there's so many. I mean, they can use corner, they can use edge, they can use interior, offensive line, receiver, tight end, quarterback. What do you think is number one?
Well, last week when I talked about Mike, listen, whatever quarterback comes is not going to succeed in the Giants because there's no weapons. But then you look at this draft, and this draft is really deep.
I don't think you could say there's no weapons.
There's no dangerous weapons on the Giants, especially now that Saquon's gone.
There's potential.
No one's looking at the New York Giants and going, yeah, there's a guy that scares me. Stop. He's a piece. I'm not scared of Wes Welker. I'm scared of Randy Moss.
I mean, Wes Welker used to tear up defenses.
Yeah, but one guy. I'm not worried about him. And you just double him with a safety and the linebacker underneath. He's not going to beat you deep. Randy Moss is the one that opened everything up. You saw that. That's when they were dangerous.
So what you're telling me by saying what I'm saying is,
if Marvin Harrison – no, listen, I know he's not going six. That's stupid. But what I'm saying is a guy like him, you get a guy like a game breaker like Beckham, Neighbors. That's where I look at Neighbors as like a Beckham. You know, Romeo and Dunsey, I told you, like a CeeDee Lamb, similar traits. I think – what was some of the other ones? Jamar Chase, I think they
Devontae.
Used.
Devontae. Somebody said a Larry Fitz.
I don't think about that. Larry Fitz had the best hands. But now you have that big time receiver on the outside, speed, size, whatnot. Now it opens up the middle of the
play. So you say you don't have weapons. I'm going to come back with this on you.
But here's the thing. If you do take the quarterback at six, you sit him. I get it for Daniel Jones for a year. Hold on. Yep. And then because his class is so deep, you can draft two receivers in a row in the second round. I believe you have the
39th and the 39 and 47.
That's what it is? 39 and 47?
They have four in the top 70.
Yes. So you can go back-to-back receivers right there and then take a running back later on, or you could take a receiver at 37, which
– I feel like they still got to get an offensive
line. I believe there's probably going to be at least 12 receivers probably taken in the first two rounds.
But that's what I'm trying to say too.
And then here's the thing: if you want to get another cornerback in the second round with that 47th pick or 39, if you think one of the receivers, like if there's a couple guys that you think like, hey, listen, I could wait a couple picks,
and then you can get
the running back. I mean, you look at the kid, Jonathan Brooks from Texas. You look at the kid from Tennessee, Jalen Wright, speed burst. You saw the kid from Louisville,
Trey Benson. Yeah, 4-3.
I mean, there's some depth. I mean, you can get a running back in the later rounds. We've seen. Look at the Chiefs, seventh round, Isaiah Pacheco. One of the better running backs now in the league. So you can get running back in great depth. I mean, even the kid Blake Corum, late round draft pick, somebody who can mix in with the offense. I think the Giants need another cornerback. We know the Giants need weapons on the outside. Giants should draft at least two receivers. I think, honestly, as much as I really don't want to say this, the Giants need to draft all offense, except for maybe one cornerback.
Who is throwing the ball?
Whoever falls. I think the Giants are going to take whoever falls.
I'm talking about who's throwing the ball to them.
I don't know.
Like, if you say receiver, the Giants take Neighbors.
Well, here's the thing.
Who is throwing the ball to them? Because we just saw Daniel Jones, and I get it. They added some pieces last year. Added Jalen Hyatt. Added Darren Waller. It didn't work out. They got Saquon back. They gave him the big contract. I get it. Everything kind of just, like an avalanche, just came crashing down real soon, real quick in game one. But this was also a guy that never took shots and hasn't really taken shots down the field other than his rookie season, from what I can remember.
Even in the year
that gave him the contract, he really never took chances down the
field. And there's no quarterbacks second and third rounds. Listen, the only guys that would fall in the second round that would be even viable would be Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Other than that, I'm not taking any. You saw Spencer Rattler. He had one of the worst combine things. I don't know if you saw. He finished like last in most of the thing. And then all the other quarterbacks, I don't look at true starters in the NFL. Those are guys' backups. So if you're not getting one of the top four guys, you know, the
McCarthys. At least five.
Five, six. Listen, Penix could be good. He showed off. Okay. If he's in the right system.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought him up.
Bo Nix, I could see Bo Nix going to Denver if McCarthy goes early because he fits the Drew Brees. Schematically smart, been there for 6 years.
Yep.
Precision passing, similar to what Drew Brees, and Sean Payton gets his guy. That's why I think Bo Nix would work for there. I think a J.J. McCarthy would work for Denver if Denver comes up and J.J. McCarthy's not taking four. I could see the Giants taking a Drake May and say, hey, this is our Josh Allen. We sit him for a year. Or listen, Daniel Jones, it's like week 8, and the Giants are like 2-4, 2-6, and it's like, you know what? We're putting Drake May in. We'll finish the season like we did with Kurt Warner and Eli Manning, and then we'll have a thing. Because, you know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, well, imagine getting like a Neighbors or a Junzi at 6, and then you have Jalen Hyatt on one side and Neighbors on that side. Talk about speed.
And then Wando in the slot with Slayton.
With Waller, too. Waller, the tight end. If
Waller might retire.
Waller's coming back. He already said he's coming back to the Giants.
When did you say that?
Last week. Did you not read it?
Didn't you see that he's been like considering retirement for his rap career? You didn't see that?
Well, I just heard that about last year.
It's serious. Like, he hasn't made his decision yet. It's not a guarantee that he comes back.
He's coming back. I can see.
Here's what I want to say about Michael Penix, the whole Michael Penix argument. And when I hear people say, oh, the Giants should draft Penix or
not at 6.
But listen, hear me out. Why are the Giants going to draft a left-handed quarterback that has had multiple injuries in the past? Serious injuries, too. When you're just coming off of a guy that has had two injuries in the past 3 years. And, oh, not to mention, we're trying to figure out our right tackle situation. But we want to get the lefty quarterback. Do people understand? Like, do people watch the national championship game? I get it. It was one game, and we should have not Michael Penix. But that was the closest he was going to face an NFL-caliber defense in that Michigan team. And if you don't want to believe me, go watch the combine that invited 18 Michigan players, the most ever, that got invited to a combine. So people that want to say, oh, Michael Penix, he throws a perfect ball. I know, because he had a t-shirt, it's shorts on. Everybody's going to look great. Some people may not look good, but he throws a great ball. I'm not saying he's accurate. But anyways, we have a right tackle problem. Probably might be one of the worst in the game right now. So, and on top of it, the guy's had multiple injuries, shoulder injuries, ACL, yeah, knee injuries. But we want to go draft him at 6. Because of why?
Oh, no one's going to draft. They're not talking 6. They're probably talking second round, 37.
I've seen it on social media. And I don't get this. I don't get this narrative of why people.
You're not taking a guy with that many injuries at 6.
But that's what I'm trying to say is why we go from one guy that's had two injuries, major injuries in 3 seasons, to go to another guy that's had 4 injuries over his college career. And we have a right tackle problem. But, oh, because he throws a perfect ball. And have we talked about for the past 10 effing years that the New York Giants offensive line has been one of the worst during that span? But let's just throw Michael Penix in because he's going to be great. Like, why are people, like The Rock said, go smoke some more crack because they sound stupid. So, like Ted used to say, you sound stupid. That's exactly how people sound when I see Michael Penix at 6.
But I ignore that shit, bro. I ignore it. Still, people,
I know, but it's just like people don't even process it. Oh, we want Evan Neal out. We want to get him out. We want to cut him. Go get him for a bag of potato chips. But we want to bring Michael Penix in, and that's going to solve everything.
The offensive line is an issue in general, okay?
Yes. So yes.
Let's face the facts. The offensive line is an issue. That's something that hopefully the Giants can fix in free agency.
They have to hit in free agency because the draft, they've drafted inside the top 10 multiple offensive linemen. It hasn't worked. It's because of coaching. You got to go free agency on this one. You can't continue to just build and build in the draft. I get it. It works for some teams. Hasn't worked for the Giants.
Worked for Dallas and Green Bay. It doesn't work for the Giants.
Great coaching. Good coaching. That's what happens, man. We fired offensive lines left and right.
Or great scouting.
I mean, I wouldn't knock the job. I mean, Evan Neal was
a projected. We were down on Andrew Thomas the first year, and then he turns into him and Tristan Wirfs. And him and Tristan Wirfs are the top 2 guys in that class. Tristan Wirfs is one of the best right tackles. Yeah. Andrew Thomas is one of the best left tackles.
I've narrowed my choice to for pick 6, depending on what the Giants do, depending on if it's trading up or trading down. I have came down to 4 players that I would love to see in a Giant uniform. Any one of these 4, I will be happy with.
Well, here's the thing. The Giants might not have to trade up now if the reports are Washington's really considering taking Kirk Cousins, drafting him. I mean, that's, oh my God. Well, they did draft him, but
well, they did draft him. So you're out. You're half right.
If they're thinking about bringing him back, they don't need a quarterback at two. Then that changes the whole ball game. Now, New England, I'm supposedly here. They're more into Drake May, not Daniels, but we'll see.
Yeah.
That, and then, so you, and then here's the thing. We know Arizona's not taking a quarterback, and we know Chargers are not taking a quarterback.
But that can be a trade. That could be a team trading
so,
up.
So that's where is. What happens with Atlanta? That's the other question. Atlanta is interesting because what do they get? Kirk Cousins? Do they get Fields? Do they take Russell Wilson?
A lot of reports saying Kirk Cousins right now.
Here's the thing. What if they give Russell Wilson for $1 million and then you bring in more weapons? Like you can really – because here's the thing. You don't have to pay Russell Wilson anything. So you can – you know, you can really
– Yeah.
That's why like New England would make sense to take Russell Wilson and for a year.
Draft a quarterback.
Go draft a quarterback or – sign T. Higgins, and
well, wouldn't you have to go trade for him now because he is franchised?
I got
to
see the whole.
You'd
detail.
Have to probably try to either they can match an offer. It depends on if it's was it the exclusive or the non-exclusive tag? Because I saw Ladarius Sneed got the non-exclusive, so that means he's available to be traded, though he still is under contract with the Chiefs for now. I'm just saying, my four guys.
Oh, so here's the thing. So, what did I'm looking right here?
I just want to say, my four.
Their non-exclusive tag, which means I have it right in front of me. So we're right. The most commonly used tag, when most referred to as a franchise, they generally
means he can still get traded.
It's a one-year tender of the average of the top five salaries over the past 5 years. The tag player can negotiate with other teams, but his current team has the right to match any offer.
Okay.
Or receive two first-round draft picks in compensation if he signs with another club. So that makes it interesting. Because if you're New England, you could say, you know what, I'll take T. Higgins, and I'll draft Marvin Harrison. Take Russell Wilson for a year.
Yeah.
And then you can always find a quarterback in the following year. But now you have T. Higgins and Marvin Harrison for the next 2 years. Now you have weapons.
So my four, or they can trade back and get a shit ton of capital from the team. My four guys, before we get on to the other three iconic franchises, my four players, you can disagree, care to disagree. Two quarterbacks. I want Drake May, and you know the other guy. I want J.J. McCarthy. I know people call me crazy. I know I've seen people, anybody that likes J.J. McCarthy is an idiot. I like J.J. McCarthy. And the receivers,
nice
neighbors, and Adunzie. Those are the four guys that if they are on the New York Football Giants at pick six, on April 25th, I will be happy.
Yeah, but Daniels, man, the athleticism, do you be able to take the ball 60 to 80 yards on the house, on the run? Break. I mean, you saw him against 40.
J.J. McCarthy's offense being set in that pro-style offense it can transition quicker than the other three, than the others.
And Daniels played in the SEC playing against best defenses probably throughout.
I mean, look, my biggest thing
on McCarthy was playing. McCarthy probably's numbers would be not – Tannenbaum made some sense. His numbers would be as good as Jaden Daniels if he put – no, probably wouldn't be that good because his rushing stats would be. But they
talent.
But his passing numbers would be exceptional because also think about the two receivers he threw to, Brian Thomas Jr. and Neighbors, who are probably both going to be top 15 picks. Which
And J.J. McCarthy has the greatest quality that you look for in a quarterback.
Smarts.
He won. He was 27-1. I get it. That team was stacked the past 2 years. I understand because I'm an Ohio State fan. I know how good they were. But you still got to have the quarterback deliver and make the plays when asked to. He was 27-1. Like, I get it. He didn't throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. He didn't play in the Pac-12. He didn't play in the SEC. He played in the Big Ten. I get it. I had an argument with Bernard about it all day yesterday because he doesn't really – think he's going to be anything special. I think he's going to be great because also the perfect situation for the Giants, and then we'll shift over and talk more Giants later on, but we'll shift over. He doesn't have to play right off the bat. You can start Daniel Jones. You can pick up a free agent quarterback if you want, and then guess what?
Yep.
He did say, Joe Shane did make one point. Daniel Jones will be the week one starter. He never said that he was going to be the long-term answer, so that could technically mean he's going to look for a quarterback. And then he's gonna wait. He's gonna play the Patrick Mahomes game. He's gonna wait. And then when things go haywire or down south, maybe at the end of the year,
do they fire Dable? And now you have a quarterback that a coach didn't want.
Well, that's the tricky part. That is the tricky part. That I get it. But guess what? You can have a receiver. Go take Odunze. Go take Neighbors. All of a sudden, Daniel Jones is going to elevate his game to a whole other game. Come on.
No.
When you're sick. How delusional and naive are we as Giant fans that we're going on year six and we still have people thinking that Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback? You know why I get so passionate about it? Because I was fooled. Because last year I said he deserved to get paid, and not the money that he got, but he deserved to get paid because he did lead us to a champion, a playoff appearance. I know that would be the day, but he got us to a playoff appearance, and he still had only 15 touchdowns. So let's not act like he had 40 touchdowns where he deserved to have the money. So we're in year six of people still saying, "Oh, Daniel Jones deserves a chance." Again, I'm going to say it one more time.
I don't know where you stop.
I see a Twitter, bro. I see people defending Daniel Jones.
Twitter is the
dude, I know, but I just see, but this comments. Is I still follow. I'm not commenting. I just still look at it and I analyze. And yeah, I'm just saying,
I don't read the comments of dumb people.
But I just, but you still glance it. You obviously going to glance and look at it.
The thing, the comments are just listen. I don't look at it. Like the
people
like,
on crack.
It's like the guy NFL scout who like had JJ McCarthy for the Giants, and every comment was about the Giants. Like, no, absolutely not. I'll riot. I'll just like, listen, folks, shut up. The Giants suck. Okay, you're idiots. You'll do nothing. Go back to work on your Monday 9 to 5.
Well, no, as Shooter McGavin said, right, go back to your shanties. Anyway, let's shift over.
Listen, I also think that but the Giants are in a tough position because we know this. If you don't have a quarterback in the league, you don't have anything. So Daniel Jones is not the answer. And I think by default, as much as I would like them to take a receiver, the depth of receivers in this class, and we've seen this year after year after year, you can get a great receiver in the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds. Guys come in and they dominate. They do well. What was Rashee Rice this year? Was he first round or second?
Ted, just go to Puka.
Oh yeah, but here, see, that's an outlier. That's an outlier because of Sean McVay.
You gotta go to right. You gotta go right system. Listen. So not every. That's another point. And here's not every receiver is gonna work.
And here's the thing. That's why coaching matters. McVay.
Yes.
Kyle Shanahan. Andy Matt Reed. LaFleur with all his young receivers. They got Andy Reid. That's why you see certain teams, they bring in young players or certain people, and they excel. And then you see other teams, the same shit every year. They bring in the players. That's why, like the Bears, they have to take Caleb Williams. Because imagine this, 2 years in a row, you had the number one pick. Now, listen, it's easy to say you could have took C.J. Stroud. No one knew C.J. Stroud was going to be this good. But you had an opportunity. You didn't know he was going to be that good. You thought he'd be good, but not
I said it. I would have picked him number one in a heartbeat. Everybody wanted Bryce Young.
You didn't think he'd be a top 10 quarterback in the first year.
Hell, he's not top 10, bro. He's top five.
So with that being said, you had an opportunity to take C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young last year, right? So you passed. Then this year, that's why you have to take Caleb Williams.
I don't want them to take Caleb Williams only because of the – but I don't want them – I heard this today. It's like – I hope they're not picking Caleb Williams because of the mistake of not picking Patrick Mahomes. Because
who was the scout director of scouting for the Chiefs, would know based on his scouting report how his qualities fit Mahomes. Listen, they're going to do their homework. He's going to have his own individual workout with USC. They're going to be everyone's going to be there. They're going to break it down. McShay and Kuiper are going to be up there. And they're all,
dude, from what I see all the time now, it's Field Yates and. Kuiper. McShay, I don't even know where he is. Maybe he got late. I think he was with the layoffs.
You'll see that. Hey, listen, you'll see that day. It'll break down. The breakdown is throws, medical. He'll talk to teams. You'll hear all the stuff.
I'm not a big fan of Caleb. I'm sorry.
No. I think he's home run or a bust sometimes. Like, I mean, not home run or bust. I don't think he'd be a bust, but I think he's.
What's his floor to you?
Dak Prescott.
Okay.
That's good. That's
a more athletic, but a more athletic.
Yes. Yeah. With a chance to make bigger plays. And then I think his ceiling, it's not Mahomes, but he's got potential to be a top five quarterback based on his playmaking abilities. But that also is going to be how his coaching, how do they block? What do they do at number nine? Do they get another tackle or do they get another weapon to go on the opposite side of DJ Moore? Patrick Mahomes sat for a year and then had Tyreek Hill and then had Travis Kelce and then had a really good offensive line and had Andy Reid calling the offensive plays. Dak Prescott came in the league.
Did you say he had Alex Smith in front of him too to help him out?
He sat for a year. Okay. Dak Prescott. I know we don't think Dak's great, but had a great offensive line, had Zeke, had Amari Cooper, then got CeeDee Lamb, had good tight ends. They had
great defense.
I mean, Joe Burrow, 1 year, didn't get the thing. They went for Jamar Chase. They got T. Higgins. They had Tyler Boyd. They went after offensive linemen. Look at Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? Like Justin Herbert. That's why the Chargers are in big, you know, hell. But yeah. You look at these young quarterbacks. That's why you look at the Texans. Makes sense to go, hey, listen, let's go get Saquon Barkley. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll go get another receiver, draft receivers. Let's get offensive linemen. Let's put people around CJ Stroud. We'll worry about the defense and free agency and whatnot. Because you want to surround the – listen, this is an offensive league, okay? Yeah. This is an offensive league. Stop with the defensive shit. It's not going to work. You win on offense, right? Playmaking. The rate of all these teams had great defenses. Yeah, it didn't make a difference. Mahomes was the better player, and he's got playmakers around him, and that was the difference. That's what it comes down to. The Eagles, the year before, great defense. 90,000 sacks. Set the NFL record. Guess what? Didn't make a difference. Couldn't get sacks. Mahomes was dominating, throwing the ball over the field. That's the difference. 49ers had a great defense. Mahomes came back and beat him with Tyreek Hill. Get weapons. Joe Burrow, the reason why we look at Joe Burrow and the Bengals like, they got T. Higgins, they got Jamar Chase, they got Joe Mixon, they have Tyler Boyd, they got a good offensive line, and Joe Burrow. That's why. That's why you consider – you look at the Rams next year, you're like, they went from a team where you're like, oh, my God, they're absolutely trash to, oh, my God, they got a really good running back in Kyren Williams. They got two legit receivers in Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. They got a great coach. Offensive line's getting better and younger. Draft assets. It's like they're right back into the into the playoff picture.
They're right back into the mix of things, just like that.
Because they got the quarterback, and they got the quarterback and the coach.
They got the coach. But like I just said also, all these four, like these four teams, Giants, Steelers, the Giants and Steelers specifically, feels like they want to be in this stubborn ways because they're the Giants and Steelers. Oh, well, we have faith in Daniel Jones, or we have faith in Kenneth Pickett. Look, guys, ladies and gentlemen, those two guys, you're not winning. You're just not – if you want to say you want to be like, we're going to win with those guys, okay. Well, it's just not going to happen. It's just not happening. They're not made to win. The Bears.
You have to afford the best quarterback in that division.
It doesn't matter who they get, though. Like, that's the thing. If they get Russell, if they get Justin Fields, if they get if they get Cousins, that's different. But if they get anybody else, they'll probably have the fourth best quarterback, maybe third tied with the Browns. Maybe. Just maybe. And then you look at the Bears. The Bears don't want to write their same mistake again. And I think that's why they're going to take that, probably going to most likely take Caleb Williams, because they passed up on Mahomes in the past, and they're going to learn from their mistake. We'll see how that turns out for them. There's a reason why the Chicago Bears don't have a 4,000 yard passer in the history of their franchise, their iconic franchise. And you can't really name an iconic quarterback from that franchise, maybe other than Sid Luckman, McMahon, which really wasn't that great of a quarterback. He was all right. And then Jay Cutler, who we all know is famously known for just quitting on his team in the NFC title game. Other than that, this is for quarterbacks, this is a place where quarterbacks go to hell. Caleb Williams looks like he's on his way to be in that situation. Hopefully they change it up for him. We'll see. And then the Patriots. I mean, they're new to the club because for 20 years they dominated the league. They were always at the top.
I mean, think about this. No Belichick for the first time.
No Brady or Belichick first time.
New coach Jared Mayo. They have, and of all teams of the top, I'm trying to think of the top 10 picks. Yeah, I got it. They have the worst personnel of all top 10 teams. Maybe in the whole league. Well, that makes sense. The whole league. Well, I mean, name a team that has less weapons.
Panthers. And they don't even have a first round pick.
Are you taking Mac Jones or Bryce Young? And then
right
and
now?
Then, and then maybe, and then
I'll take Mac Jones.
They have Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen had a good season.
I mean, I love Thielen because I had him in fantasy. I know he was great, but
and then, well, I mean, they had a running back from the
Miles
Eagles
Sanders, but he really hasn't delivered. Well, see, the Patriots could be in a good situation because yes, they could take a quarterback. It depends on if they get another quarterback, they could sit him. Yes, they could take the best receiver.
See, that's why I don't think they should take
Trade back. No, I think they're going to get a quarterback. Don't know who. They're going to get some sort of quarterback if they do take the quarterback at three. Or they could trade back with one of these teams like the Giants, like the Falcons, the Broncos, the Vikings, or the Raiders.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. What if you're the Broncos or Vikings? Or it's not going to be the Raiders. The Raiders are not going to come all the way up to the top two. They have to. But what if it's Atlanta?
I mean, they're interested in Daniels.
Okay, but what if it's Atlanta or Minnesota or Denver, and they come up to three, the package that New England would get.
Oh, yeah.
would be similar
multiple
to
firsts.
Would just I would do it would be like the Russell Wilson trade. You would get three draft picks.
No, and I think it, what was can you go back while I'm talking right now? Go look up the Trey Lance trade with Miami. I think San Fran was the 12th pick that year.
Miami traded up, three, right?
Miami was three, and then Miami traded. Yeah, look that up. But that's the thing, like this league right now. Like I get it. You gotta have the offensive line. But most importantly, you gotta have a great coach. Gotta have the right system for these quarterbacks. But it's the quarterback.
So the Dolphins received the 12th overall pick that year, first and a third round picks in 2022, and a first round pick in 2023. So they got
two firsts.
Two firsts.
Well, three firsts if you want to swap picks.
Yeah, swap picks. So three firsts and a third.
Okay. So if you're a team like the Patriots where you need assets for the future because right now you are very, very far from competing for a championship. If you're Vikings, Minnesota, that's what maybe the package.
And if you look at New England, like the amount of assets that you can build around your team, like, yeah. Okay, because here's the thing, whoever they draft a quarterback, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, which I've heard they like JJ McCarthy because I guess he crushed it on the board. I guess very smart in the class. They said, he ran an NFL offense with Jim Harbaugh. If you can handle Jim Harbaugh, you can probably handle a lot of the other coaches.
And if Jim Harbaugh thinks he's a good quarterback, I mean, I know it was his quarterback because he was at his team, but it's not like, I mean, he could have put somebody else in. So, he had Cade McNamara. Guess what? Cade McNamara transferred because he wasn't good enough. So he started JJ McCarthy.
That's why Marvin Harrison becomes interesting at three. Like, hey, listen, should we just get weapons?
Do you think Harrison falls at all?
No, he doesn't
Like, would you be more stunned?
Listen, first of all, I'll be surprised if he makes the Chargers. If he goes,
would you be more shocked? I know it's not going to happen, but would you be more shocked if Caleb didn't go number one or Harrison was not the first receiver taken?
Caleb not going one.
Okay.
Just because now it looks like the receivers, based on what you're saying, in the beginning before everything was like, okay, Marvin Harrison's the dominant. But now The more and more, the Neighbors and Adunzie, they have closed the gap on Harrison. And Neighbors has that Beckham speed. And I'm only using Beckham because he's LSU and he has a similar type of build. Six foot one, just barely.
What explosiveness. You give him on a slant route. And you can take it.
Yeah, I think about the Cowboys winning like 10-3 slant and just gone 85 yards. You know, Dunzie 6'3", like 215, big, goes up for the ball, playmaker. He's more of an X outside receiver. Neighbors can play both slot. They use him in LSU in all three positions: the Y, the X, and the H, and the Z. So they can you can put him in anywhere you want. And then Harrison I think he's the most dominant of the most complete of both receivers: size, speed, hands, plus the pedigree. You know what I mean? He he's been the best receiver the past two seasons. He should have been a back-to-back Biletnikoff winner. But with that being said, he's not falling past five. Like, the Chargers, considering what Keenan Allen being old, Mike Williams coming off another major injury, he's got issues all the time. You need weapons. He's not going past five. Arizona, it makes 100% sense. Maybe they fall in love with Neighbors and have the speed burst. But I feel like Harrison, they're going to be like, hey, listen.
That's a number. You put him with Kyler and
McBride. In my mind, it's like, there's Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald, even though you got an athletic. Like, there's, like, if we were playing Madden.
If the Cardinals got Marvin Harrison.
We would love that. Like,
Marvin Harrison, they'd have a nice little four. They have Kyler. They'd have Marvin. They'd have Trey McBride. And they have James Conner. That's a solid four. You got a number one receiver. You got a tight end who has.
They drafted a tackle last year out of Ohio State, Paris.
Yeah, Paris Johnson.
I thought it was Johnson. Yep.
I got you. And that's not a bad team if you add that piece. And in that division, you're going to need to put up points.
And you saw them compete this year. They should have beat the Giants. They beat Dallas. You know, they'll get better. And now.
That was the famous Giants Cardinals game. That was so famous.
So, you know, you add a weapon, and I think that's a stud. If he doesn't go to New England. Three and you go four to Arizona, definitely. Maybe they take Neighbors, but probably I would say I would run.
Were you the one that just said that the Patriots are the most intriguing team in the top 10 pick wise?
The Giants, listen, I get that everyone's in love with the Giants because
I feel like the Giants is.
I think the Giants are intriguing because they have Daniel Jones, but we all know Daniel Jones sucks. Like, listen, he's a backup quarterback. He was a backup quarterback when they drafted him.
You saw the McShay. McShay was right. McShay was right.
Listen, but that's like, God bless, you know, But Dwayne Haskins wasn't the answer either. You know, when people are like, you should have Dwayne Haskins. Neither are quarterbacks.
Neither
Giants had messaged to Josh Allen, the defensive pass rusher. Listen, when you overdraft, that's the only thing I say about these quarterbacks. They all have potential. They all have bust written all over them, too. All four of them have bust written all over them. Caleb Williams, like you said, could get lost in the shuffle in Chicago. Say Drake May goes to Washington. Not been a really good franchise. You know, Kirk Cousins, in and out. Room Robert Griffin III. When's the last time they've had a good quarterback? You know what I mean? They've
Doug kind of, Williams.
Joe Theismann. I don't even know if Joe
Theismann. I mean, Theismann, and that's in the 80s. You know,
I mean,
Doug
I mean, they killed Sam Howell this year. He like, got sacked like 100,000 times this year. So where's that kid's going to succeed? Is Dan Quinn ready to rock and roll? Maybe with Cliff Kingsbury, maybe. That's why like Jaden Daniels makes sense, the athletic. But maybe Drake May. You know, if one of those quarterbacks goes to New England, there's no weapons. There's no one there. How is that kid's going to succeed in the first season? You know, and then of course, the Giants.
That's why I was going to say.
Every one of those four quarterbacks. And there's no guarantee, like, if Denver comes up or Minnesota comes up. Now, the only thing I would say, if Minnesota comes up and does get a quarterback and they get a guy like J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, those guys can concede. First of all, Kevin O'Connell's a really good offensive coordinator coach.
Yeah, but are they starting day one? Because they might not have Cousins.
Oh, yeah. They're starting day one if Cousins is gone. And then I'm going, okay, no problem. We got some running backs. We got some speed running backs. Oh, we also have Jordan Addison, who's one of the better rookie receivers, came out. Oh, we do have the best receiver on the other side, and Justin Jefferson, and now we can pay him. And now we got two young studs. And they also have TJ Hawkins. Now, I understand he's coming off of a major injury, but with that being said, it's definitely a – I mean, you look at the situation. You're like, you got a stud tight end. You got two receivers. J.J. McCarthy comes in, smart guy, run the offense. You know, maybe he's the best fit there.
Well, a little fun.
I don't think Drake May could start right off the bat.
Drake May. Josh McCown's part of that franchise, and he coached Drake May in high school.
In Minnesota?
Yeah, Josh McCown's with Minnesota right now, so it is a possibility.
That could all make sense.
But that's why I say that. See, everybody wants to say the Patriots are the most intriguing. I don't think they're the most intriguing. I think it's the Giants because right now.
Yeah, but don't you think the draft starts after three?
No, but this is how I was going to say is how I feel like the draft could go. Realistically, Caleb goes one, Jaden or Drake goes two or three, both of them. That's where I say, the draft starts after three if it's those three quarterbacks. But that's why I say the Giants pick becomes that much more valuable or the teams in front because guess what? There's one more guy that you're really going to consider taking in the top 10. It's not going to be Penix or Bo Nix, even though people want that to be. It's not going to be. It's going to be J.J. McCarthy. And then you're going to have four teams or even five. I'll count the Saints in there as well because they may be looking for a quarterback in the future. And the that's five teams looking for a possible to try to trade up. So that's why I say the Giants, because if it goes 1-2-3, how we've all expected it to be, whereas the top three are the three quarterbacks, whatever who it is,
listen, I know it then sounds it becomes stupid. Very intriguing. I know it sounds stupid, but it just kind of rang the bell in my head was J.J. McCarthy did play in Michigan. So cold, winter, rain, wind, playing the Big Ten. You know, Caleb Williams played in South Carolina, Oklahoma, nice weather. You know,
Jaden Daniels, actually, I saw some report on Twitter today that people in Jaden Daniels' camp doesn't want him to go to New England because of the weather. Just saying.
Which would make sense. Like, they don't think he's going to succeed.
So then he should go to a team like the Raiders, the Vikings. Listen,
no different than when Tua came out. Went to Hawaii, played at Alabama. Probably the coldest game I think he played was like 65 degrees. So, and then he went to Miami. So they worked out well for him. But the cold weather game, I mean, listen, guys can overcome that. But
J.J. McCarthy played in cold weather.
You think about Josh Allen, Wyoming, Buffalo, you know, weather wise. Listen, guys can play anywhere. I mean,
that's not true.
We even go. Aaron Rodgers was at Cal Berkeley playing Cal and went to Green Bay and lit it up. You know what I mean?
Oh, Rodgers.
Brett Favre was at Southern Miss and went to, you know, guys, you can overcome. Eli Manning was an Ole Miss, Southern kid. Everybody played in a cold game in his life. Went to Giants, did really well. You know, so not that used to probably be a big factor. Guys overcome it. I mean, Mahomes, Texas kid, I mean, whatever he plays in Kansas City, did pretty well when it was like minus 12 this year. So. Listen, you got to find the right guy. And if we've learned anything from this draft is 50% of the quarterbacks are going to fail, if not more. Kyler Murray class, there was three of them, two of the three, so 66%. Both two of the three, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, you know, was not a good quarterback.
Or just like Zoltek said in Little Giants, 80 poor football, 80% physical, 40% or 40% physical, 80% mental. And he just goes, what? Doesn't even make sense. Little Giants. I just watched that. It's a classic. But that's how I feel the Giants are. That's how I feel like the Giants are right now. They're like the Little Giants searching for hope.
And I know we didn't talk much about Pittsburgh, but here's the thing. Like, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you're like, okay.
Well, because really Pittsburgh's the closest to all out of all these teams to competing for a Super Bowl, but they just don't have the
quarterback.
But yet that makes it feel like that's they're light years away.
That's why they're going to go get one of the veteran quarterbacks. I think they should.
To me, the best option would be Kirk Cousins.
But you know what the Kenny Pickett situation in Pittsburgh is? It's no different than Daniel Jones last year with the Giants. When you have that comfortable couch or that comfortable feel. Yes, those two franchises, similar to Big Ben, like the Giants did with Eli Manning, they don't like change. They're comfortable.
They're stubborn.
They're comfortable. You find that couch or chair. It's got rips. It's like, yo, but I've had it for like 20 years. It's so comfortable. You got to get rid of it, bro. You got to, like, they held on for Big Ben. They didn't want to draft the quarterback forever because Big Ben.
Stubborn. That's another term for stubborn.
Was a baby and was going to cry about it. You know, and the Giants didn't want to draft the quarterback forever because Eli Manning, like, we can't let Eli go. We can't let Eli. We got to hold on with Eli. We got to draft more person.
Are you trying to make fun of me or something?
You got to know when it's time to cut the cord. And Eli Manning, the Giants held on to him maybe 1 or 2 years too long, same with Pittsburgh, and they haven't found a quarterback since the Bolt guys. Now, Kenny Pickett, listen, I don't think has he gotten a fair chance? Probably, maybe. I don't know. Don't really care. You got to prove it.
In this league.
And in this league, we expect things like this because we saw C.J. Stroud come in with a team that we thought was going to be one of the worst franchises, light it up. Now, he not like he had all these studs around him. I mean, Tank Dell.
I mean, Nico Collins wasn't a star until this year.
Was it nobody?
I mean, we didn't know Tank Dell was going to emerge like this. We didn't know Devin Singletary was going to play like this. We didn't know that Dalton Schultz has been a solid tight end. But yeah, everything worked together. They got a new coach. Sometimes you just got to get away from the stubborn ways. I know I put the Steelers in this of being irrelevant, and you'll be like, "What the hell are they talking about? The Steelers are always relevant. They're always in the playoff hunt." I get it. But from the standpoint of competing for a Super Bowl, yeah, they're the closest out of these four teams. But Ted just said it. You're still light years ahead or light years away from getting to Super Bowl because you don't have the quarterback.
Mediocrity, bro. Like, listen, I'd either be great or bad. Don't be 9-8 every year. That sucks. You're in the middle of the pack. That's not good enough. Because it's not good enough for you to get a stud or someone to help yourself out, and it's not good enough to get to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Because here's the thing: the Browns have the best defense in football. You know, they have better running back. They have Amari Cooper. We'll see what happens. What they do with other weapons around the thing, but they were a better team than you. All right,
they had four quarterbacks, different quarterbacks playing this year.
They were still better than them. They're still better. And they're a better team. Burrow's going to come back with the Bengals. So you're like, okay, how am I going to be? Yeah, I got TJ Watt. I'm getting it. Great. He's an unbelievable player. I put him up there with any defensive player in the league. But he's not winning you the Super Bowl. He's not winning you the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Now, they would never trade him. You'd be absolutely nuts. But this is similar to the situation I said about the Vikings. Trading Justin Jefferson. Can you get 2 or 3 first-round picks for him? How many players can you get for this guy? Considering the Steelers always draft linebackers really well. Since I've been born, they've always had great linebackers.
They draft receivers well,
too. They draft receivers really well. Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, Martavius Bryant, Deontay Johnson.
George Pickens.
I mean, there's probably a couple other guys I'm not even thinking of.
Hines Ward. Antoine Randall.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Plax.
Oh, my God.
Did you say Antonio Holmes, too?
I did not say him.
Santonio Holmes.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like, you draft receivers. Like, trade George Pickens or someone. See if you get a second or third round. See what you could do. Like, if you're the Vikings and you're in a situation where – what do you – now, if you're going to go get a quarterback, you've got to keep Justin Jefferson if you're not going to sign Kirk Cousins. But, like, you got to think about these things because, like, if you're – the Chiefs, if you think your quarterback is good enough, you trade him. You let him go. I think the Bengals – that's what the Bengals – I think the Bengals want to keep it T. Higgins. But if someone's going to offer them 2 first-round picks –
You know the looming Jamar Chase contract extension's coming. So
we'll see how much money
that is. All in all, this whole show, I know that we talk with that. There's so much more to talk about with this NFL draft, and we're going to be posting our first mock draft, one of three. We're going to do one at least this week. We're going to do one after free agency, get a better feel of how each of these teams will be. And then obviously we'll have our final mock draft first round. No trades, as always. Only a month and a half away until, where is it in? Is it in Green Bay this year?
It's crazy. No, it's in Detroit.
I miss it when it was in Radio Music City Hall.
I like it now that they changed.
It was so bad. It was so nice. It was everything's like red carpet shit now. It's like, it's just a draft.
Yeah, but it's a draft. It's a money maker.
Of course, everything's a money maker.
Listen, you have to. If you got a product that sells, you sell. No different than the combine. There's fans now at the combine.
Ted, it don't matter if it's in Hollywood or it's in. It doesn't matter. It's the NFL. It's still always gonna sell. Doesn't matter. It's the top. It's the top dog of the sports world.
Gives every city an opportunity to host a draft. No different than the Super Bowl. I was glad that they had it at Giant Stadium. I know they'll never have it in Green Bay, which would be outstanding. Would be awesome.
Imagine that. A snow Super Bowl.
They don't want that, but I mean, the Giant game was awesome. I mean,
The Giant game was awesome?
Well, in the weather-wise,
worst Super Bowls.
Well, the weather-wise, it was good. Yeah, but
You remember like 6 hours later or like 12 hours later, we had a massive snowstorm?
The Titans are building a new stadium.
Don't worry, all these teams are getting beautiful stadiums, and the New York Giants have a dump of a stadium. Beautiful. This is a beautiful day. It's beautiful. All in all, if you want to compete in the NFL, no matter what you want to say, you can say the offensive line. I get it. All valid points. You need the quarterback first. And if you don't want to believe me, just go back a month and go watch what Patrick Mahomes did. Not saying we got to find Patrick Mahomes because he's the outlier. He is in a whole nother stratosphere.
Yeah, but anybody it just everything worked out. You got the right coach, the right organization, and a good.
Well, I'm talking about just this year. I'm not even talking about his rookie year. I'm talking about everything, how we all thought this year was it. Over with. The Chiefs weren't going to win. We all said it, Ted, throughout the playoffs. We picked the Bills. We picked the Ravens. We picked the Niners. Guess what? We were wrong. So, I just don't think we can ever bet against
Jordan, bro.
It's like betting against Jordan, betting against Brady, unless he's playing Eli, or betting against Patrick Mahomes. Wow, what a time to be. What a time. March Madness, a few more weeks. Can't wait.
2 weeks, bro.
I know. Next week, conference tournament games. Duke, North Carolina this weekend. We need it. Need redemption. I'm down to 5 teams that I think legitimately have a championship shot. And 2 of them are both our teams. You want to hear them?
The Duke has got to be
Duke, baby. This is it.
Duke's not good enough.
Dude, what are you talking? You don't even watch them. Watch them to say that. See, I watch UConn. So I can legitimately say, yeah, they're legitimate contenders to win a championship. Just like Houston, UNC, and Arizona. Those are my 5 and Duke that are winning,
No Kansas?
Overrated. They're 2 over. I would say Baylor has a better shot. Baylor's been playing well.
Baylor should have beat them the first time in Kansas, too.
Baylor's been playing well. I mean, I don't see a lot of teams winning it, though.
Purdue!
They're going to lose again to a 16 seed.
Could Purdue be like the Virginia team? You get knocked on the first round, and then the next year you come back?
No. I would be so – if Purdue made it to the national championship, ick.
You know who else? I'll tell you, Kentucky and Tennessee are good.
Pat said Kentucky. I said, yeah, don't be surprised.
Kentucky's good athletic. And Tennessee, man, they got that kid.
Here's the thing. I always notice with teams like that, like Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, they might struggle throughout the year, middle of the year. But when it comes down to the end of the year, this is when they start playing their best ball. That's why I say Duke has a legitimate shot because I think they're playing their best ball right now. I don't know. They got this kid, Jared McCain. Go watch him. Kid is a light out shooter. He takes any chances he gets. He goes to the basket. I like it. We got scores. We got a big in Filipkowski. I know people are bitching about his injury, but I'm excited. I can't wait. And we still got so much more NFL to talk about. Got so much more. And we get to see Mr. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in just under a month, starting a quest for 28. Going to have D. Joseph Aguirre joining us in the next coming weeks, talking baseball, Dodgers, Yankees. Plus, I will be going on Rich Sports Talk podcast this week, talking about probably most likely the New York Giants and the New York Jets, 2 teams that are in the top 10, again, looking for improvements. But ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're back, and we're ready to go. We are Keys to the City. We're streaming on all social media platforms, including Spotify at Keys to the City. So comment, like, subscribe, or share. We are Keys to the City. Ted.
We are out.
Carry us out. Carry us out. We
are out.
You are now in tune to the Keys to the City podcast.